Joe Witte is going to be talking about winning ratings with, and this is not a typo, with Glocal Science.
Glocal. What is that?
That's a new term for me.
Yes. Well, it's not mine. I stole it. Borrowed it, shall we say, from the AAAS. They are trying to engage or get their scientists engaged in community conversation in their local communities. And so they came up with the term of Glocal. And we just have, since we're charging or since we're booting up to another one, take a minute. So in the past 2 years, I've been trying to do some science stories. And in the process, I've been looking at climate change and doing some reading, not so much on climate change itself, though I have been doing that, but I've also been doing some reading on climate change communication, and it's sort of evolved into science communication. And there's been an explosion over the past couple of years on books and magazine articles and blogs on science communication. How do we communicate our wonderful natural world to the public? Whether it's the voting public, whether they need an umbrella to go vote, or whether it is the decision makers. We have some people who work on the Hill here, and they also need education about our science field. There we go, now we're almost getting there. So I borrowed a few ideas from, I guess I don't need that one, do I? From the AAAS, from some articles, some books, and I thought it might be sort of useful to sort of just throw out some ideas. This is probably more for the younger fellows and younger women who are just coming up. The rest of us are too old to worry about it, or we've already been there, done that sort of thing, though it is a new world. Glocal comes from global and local. Einstein, so what's the bloody point anyway of trying to do science on TV? Oh, there we go, hold on 1 second. Figure out which way we're going. Okay, look at the one on the right then. I've got it finally figured out. So in the RTNDA at January, or was it the spring, 2008, one of the points they brought up, we must really start doing something unique and new, something the viewers haven't seen or heard already. They're on their computers, they're on their iPods, and there's all sorts of things going on that viewers, the young, the X-gen, the Y-gen, the millennials are not watching appointment TV. And so I took a look at the book that just came out, written in 2007. It's a result of 5 years worth of research. So I combined that with why local TV matters and why the local forecast can make a difference. And why should we care about science stories? A number of good reasons. The Gathering Storm Report was a report about science education, which basically said something we've heard and seen on the news a lot, that we are in not the best of shapes for, with our education. It's critical that we have the general public have a good knowledge of general science for our national economic future. And children are spending more time watching media than in school. 10 years ago, we had a report come out that said about much the same thing. Can citizens learn what they need to know? Well, what is the democratic dilemma? Is can they learn what they need to know? And where does the public learn about science? Emily, earlier this morning at 8 o'clock, for those early birds who were here, went to the same report, which is a two-year, every two-year report to Congress, and basically it says magazines are not a great source of science, or there is not much attention, or it is not a primary source. The web is growing, obviously, but TV is by far a key way how the public learns about TV. Let's look at online versus network TV, versus local TV. Local TV is by far the general public's way of learning about science. Now, if they want to learn about a particular topic, they'll go online and they'll drill right down to it. But I'm talking about sitting at home and taking in science in a passive way. So local TV is extremely important for the education. Science communications, there have been a number of books, articles over the past 2 years especially. And then the folks in the broadcast business came out with this report, which basically was a 5-year project, looked at 2,500, 2,400 newscasts, And I just took a few points. They have some wonderful points in there, some of which you might quibble with. But one is, how do you make the news local? What does it mean to your local viewer? What does that science story mean to your local viewer? Mooney and Nesbitt call it framing science. How do we frame it in the viewer's frame of mind to make it relevant to their life, their daily life? Make the news local. The weathercaster knows the local angles. For many earth science stories, you know where your sources are, you know where your video might be shot. So it comes down to think globally, act locally, and AAAS has called their effort GLOCAL. Scientists must personally make topics, rather, personally relevant to the viewers. It's asking its membership, which is extremely large, to engage with the local public. Not only reach out to local media, reach out to policymakers, school board members, clergy, opinion makers. The CAP journal is a new journal communicating astronomy to the public. They understand the importance of communicating science to the public. Second point made in the book that I borrowed was present significant stories. Well, earth science stories are significant to local viewers' lives and the future of our country. And then another point they made, use authoritative sources. That is including, who does the viewer trust? Well, obviously, the viewer trust you. We're dealing with an information overload, hundreds of cable stations, hundreds of magazines. Who do I believe? I have too many decisions to make. I don't know what kind of car to buy, what kind of phone to buy. I go and buy a cell phone, and I don't know which model. There's so many options. I will, however, trust somebody I know, and that person is, of course, you, the local forecaster. You are one of the people, one of the trusted people in the neighborhood. And if you go back to Aristotle, who can persuade whom? The speaker's character, your character, or somebody I know, is probably the most effective means of persuasion or communication. Now, before we get carried away, now that I've blown your heads all way up and your egos are way up in cloud nine, we still have reality to come back to, recovery. So make it local. Science is significant, and you are the authority, and you can find other authorities to help you out on your stories. Story types, okay. If it bleeds, it leads. Obviously, crime is at the top of the list of number of stories. I like this one, bizarre events is 8% of the stories on local news. Science, way down at the bottom, way, way down at the bottom. My question is, how can we make this sell perhaps to the sales department? Tonight's science segment is brought to you by Toyota, or this week's segment is brought to you. Obviously, green is now green. They're selling green spots. Maybe we can play off that with your salespeople. And we've had some people talk already about how being a help to the lead story of the day. What is the disaster of the week or of the month or of the day? Is it an earth science story? Can you help out either behind the scenes or directly in front of the camera with graphics? You can then become the go-to guy so viewers tune to your station for breaking earth science stories. We have a number of people here who have developed a long career doing that very thing. Mr. Ryan, for one. We have a whole bunch of those people. And so for your younger people, it's about long-term development and developing an authority. Are you promotable? Well, sure. Next at 10, Paul grows on bogs. Sweeps potential. Here's one I think that you could really use science in, because they're always desperate for something for sweeps, and maybe you can help them with a science angle here. Now we get to sort of the fun part, the website. Broadband, as you know, has changed everything. Oh, it's too bad my video isn't working here. But basically, this is a video of Doug Hill doing the weather out of Washington, and it probably took me 15 seconds to download this on my iPhone. If you want a sample, I can do that for you here. We can hear his audio here, but most people know the news and forecast before they even get home. So not many people are probably rushing to the TV and say, I gotta find out what the weather is, unless it's a breaking snowstorm and it's ongoing right then. And so they've got pagers, they've got phones, they've got iPhones, they've got cell phones. They know what's going on even before they get home. So at the RTNDA in their digital segment, it says we must start offering something unique and new that they haven't already seen or heard. Science is a nice little venue that might come in handy there. Got a little science segment, let's tease it, and then put it on the air at 10 o'clock. There's way too much who, what, where, and too little why. Science, of course, is begging for why. Why is this? How many times have you heard the anchor read a science story and then, well, why? They never answer that. Sometimes they do, oftentimes they don't. And then in closing, timely, we heard that from Emily earlier this morning, that she has a problem of being topical, and we heard it from the news directors and producers earlier. It's that day news, or what's happened this week, and of course, EarthGage with their weekly newsletter, and their sort of modified or tailored towards your three-day forecast, is oftentimes a very good source of environmental information. It's free, it's easy to check out, and of course, Comet is a wonderful source of information, and they're developing some visuals, and they have some already. Be sure to be here 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to hear Joe Lemos talk about that project. So think globally, act locally, and I think you young folks will go far. So my question will be, has anybody used science segments on their iPhone or on their websites? Has anybody sort of gone together with teachers? I know a lot of you go to schools, but a lot of times it's, how do you become a weatherman? Do you wear makeup? When do you go to bed? When do you have to get up? All those sort of things. Have you really tied together, as an example maybe you could share, with science teachers? And is anybody doing vodcast for weather? So those would be my sort of questions, and I'm willing to take some questions now. And I apologize for the Mac confusion. Thank you very much.
Joe, I'm sure there are a couple of questions out there. I saw a hand raised over here. Yes.
Yes. Yes, good. So my thought would be, that's terrific. And if you had a science vodcast, then the science teachers of your area could say, hey, go to Dan's vodcast. He's got a neat little science segment. There is, out of the government agencies and out of universities, some wonderful animation, colorful animation coming down. We can grab snippets of that, put it on our vodcast, put it on the webcast, and how cool is it to be walking around? I'm going to check what Dan said, was going to say, and I'm here. I push a button, and bingo, there's my man, Dan, giving me a neat little science thing, as well as giving me the forecast for tomorrow. Oh, yeah, right. They're at 11 o'clock, they're watching anything but the 11 o'clock news, and we can see it in the numbers. So, anybody else? I'll be around, of course, if you want to ask some more questions.
Thank you, Joe. Very informative, yes.
All right, thanks. I'll move this out of your way.